Well, praise the Lord. We are in sin's prison, so dark and cold, and he drew us out from such a place. Topic, my theme and thoughts this morning come down to what happens within this little candle here. When we take some fire and we light the fire, that's a lot what my heart is this morning. That's a lot what my thoughts are on this morning. And I'd like to just, if we could rise together, I want to seek the Lord, get my thoughts clear. I'd like to convey a message that would be a blessing for us this morning. Got a lot of thoughts, but I need to just kind of bring them together and been pondering on how to do that. So the Lord give me wisdom. I ask that you could pray for me. God, we come before you this morning desiring to seek your face, desiring to ponder on what it is, this spiritual work that you did at Pentecost, of sending your spirit down and lighting a fire upon the apostles' lives and hearts. And just pondering on how you've done that for so many of us here this morning. You've lit the fire, and your spirit's burning fire within each of our hearts. And Lord, it's a mystery. We don't understand how that spiritual work takes place, but by obedience and coming to the cross, repenting of our sins, you wash us in your blood, and you set us free from that curse of sin. And it's a day-to-day, moment-to-moment experience. But we thank you, Lord, for that ongoing fire. When we get converted and we get born again, that you put within our hearts, that never goes out except we walk away from you and allow you to just harden our hearts. We just harden our hearts by choices we make. And Lord, this morning, I just desire to bring forth a message here, Lord, thoughts about spiritual awakening and the birth of your spirit within our hearts, a newborn birthing experience, Lord. There's some here this morning that are not right with you and have hard hearts, very likely, and we bring them to you and ask that you touch their hearts this morning, Lord. If there's any that are struggling and just pushing you off and pushing you out, Lord, we ask that you could break through those walls and those hard hearts this morning. And Lord, may you just light that fire within our hearts this morning in a fresh way again. Lord, that we could leave this place and that this light within our hearts would shine before men, that they would see their hearts, see that they need Jesus, and such as should be saved would be saved, Lord, before you come again. That's our desire this morning. So I pray, O God, that you work with our hearts this morning. Pray, O God, that you'd have mercy on us. Thank you for what you are doing. We think of Lydia and just, Lord, many of us, just the things we've been through this past week and observing people that walk away from you, and observing people that have open hearts. Lord, we come this morning just desiring that you could work with us and speak to us, Lord. So we come as needy, humble beggars, Lord. We bring our hearts to you and ask that your spirit could come down and speak to us and move amongst us and stir us up in this holy faith which you called us to. Thank you for this time here. Pray you give me direction as I speak the words here that you'd have me to speak. Pray you give anointing to it, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. If you would turn in your Bibles with me to Proverbs 20, verse 27. I've been doing a lot of thinking here recently with some of the things I have been working through, some of the things the Lord's doing in our home, some of the things that we've been observing as a brotherhood with baptisms taking place, hard hearts becoming soft and new, getting born again, seeing people seal that with baptism, seeing a living God working with us people, and knowing that He has a purpose for each one of us, whether we be young and about this size as we see some babies amongst us, or whether we're 80, 90 years old this morning. This same mercy of God wants to draw all our hearts to Himself. And we thank God for that mercy, because without His mercy, we'd be consumed. We just don't, by nature, tend to head heavenward. But by God's love, He reaches down and speaks to us through our spirit. There's a spirit thing that we want to observe this morning and ponder on. I don't understand it all, but when God, man and woman come together and conception takes place, there's a spirit of life that is inborn. God has made it so. And as they're born into this world and they grow and develop, that spirit is molded and shaped by input, but also by choices that begin to be made. And that's an interesting thing, and it's a mystery how that all works. But if we take God's word and apply it, there's a lot of tools we can have, as it were, a toolbox we can have as parents and as a brotherhood that can help to bring healing, can help to bring a new birth experience of conversion, and can help bring new life and joy and hope to our hearts on a day-to-day walk. It's God's desire to come down and work with us and to have a relationship with us. God has made us spiritual beings. We can live our lives trying to ignore that fact, and we can harden our hearts, or we can just simply humble our hearts and say, look, I don't have answers for this need that I feel and sense within my heart, and I need an answer for this aching void that's with me every day. Formality and religion can't give it. The right clothes and the right circumstances can't give it. Being born in the right home can't give it. But a new birth conversion experience can give it. Thank the Lord. And so as He works with us and we sense that burden growing, that we need Him. We're not right with Him. We need a Savior. If I die tonight, where am I going? There's an answer for those questions. God made us that we just will go to almost no end to find an answer for that very question. God put that within us. And it's that draws us to Himself. He loves us so much. But He put that void there that He wants it to be filled with His Spirit. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 27 says, "The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly." Proverbs chapter 24, verse 20 says, "For there shall be no reward to the evil man, the candle of the wicked shall be put out." You know, this thing of the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. I don't know quite all how to explain it, but within each one of us, as it were, there's material there, there's substance there for a fire to burn within our hearts. I don't know if it's here or here, but it's real. The Bible uses the word heart. He uses the mind. He uses the conscience. It's that moldable thing that senses a need and wants answers. How many of you know what I'm talking about this morning? I do. It's something within our hearts, in our minds, within our being that wants to have a fire burning, that wants to have a purpose. All the materials there. But until the Spirit of God comes down and lights that fire, that thing just sits there waiting and aching for a purpose. I don't have an answer for that myself. Jesus does. God does. And all of the material's there, and it's going to burn as long as God wants it to burn. You know, time glasses, the sand runs through. When it's out, it's done. This candle will burn for many hours. I don't know how long, but when it's done, it's done. And God has this same thing for each of us. And as we just want to observe some things here, as we look at this, this candle is doing what it was made to do. And that's a lot how it is when we get born again. Our lives can then begin to do what God designed them to do. Choices, a lack of the presence of God working in our spirit can put that fire out, can make it a stinking place of smoke, or we can allow God to just have our hearts turn to Him, and the fire of God can burn. Without His Spirit, without His air, the fire just goes right out. And that's a lot what my thoughts are about this morning. How many of us come this morning without a cloud there, with that fire burning in our hearts this morning? I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands, but search your heart this morning. Allow God to search your heart this morning. And just think about this. With God's fire and no clouds burning, we'll burn as brightly and as long as He wants us to. And when He says, its time is over, and the Bible speaks in Ecclesiastes, the Spirit returns to the maker thereof, it'll be a fulfilled purpose and you'll be glad to go. There is a joy, and the Bible speaks about something to the effect that it's the joy of God to take His children home. I forget how that verse goes, but it's a joy for God to take His children home. It's hard for those left behind, but it's a joy for God to take His children home. And the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. This sense of longing, this material that God has put within our hearts that wants to burn, that needs that purpose there, that sense and that knowing, that conscience, that heart throb, whatever you want to call it, is something that God has put within our hearts to allow Him to have the opportunity to draw us and to make His love known to us in a real and personal, special way, that we, in seeing our need of Him and having a born-again conversion experience, we can walk in it from day to day. And there's fulfillment in that. So much fulfillment in that. My brother and sister were testifying there. And it's an older brother and sister, brothers Sylvan and Lydia. As I think about their age and I think about God's mercy, thank you, Jesus. And Brother Joe, you know, and there's different of us. Peter and Mary. Mary, her conversion experience. As long as there's breath within us, there is a substance within each one of us that needs the Spirit of God burning in our hearts. God has made it that way. And if your breath is within you, your time's not over and the opportunity is still there. And you can know that you're saved. If you don't know, you don't need to leave this place without knowing it this morning. You can know that you're saved. Brother Paul says, I know whom I have believed and persuaded that he is able to keep me until that day. And so, as we keep a relationship with God and just allow him to just have our hearts, and we don't allow anything to come between there, that fire can burn. And it can do its work of allowing God to come down in and say, Dirk, that needs to change. I don't like what I see there, the way you responded to that, the way you spoke into that situation, the attitude that you had, the thing that you allowed to take place and you should have done something about in your home. That needs to change, Dirk. I want you to deal with this issue. Will you let me help you? Will you give me your heart? That's the bottom line. It's really very simple. In our flesh, we can make it really complicated. But it comes down to a humbling and opening of our hearts and allowing God to just keep the fire burning, lighting a fire if we feel it's gone out. If we feel that cloud there and we know that thing is not burning, and maybe it's just simply we feel like the situation is such that we've turned away so long and it grieves our hearts anymore, come to God. The fact that he is speaking to you means he loves you enough to take you out of that place. The mercy of God, if he's speaking to your heart, showing you that need, it means that he loves you and he doesn't want you there. He wants to get in there and do a work and wash you in Jesus' blood and set you free and set me free. When or if the day would come that you don't sense that kind of drawing, it may be too late. But today, if you hear that voice, and you don't harden your heart, God will do business and deal with the issues that you allow him to if you open your heart to him and say, come, Lord Jesus, wash me. I want to be your child. It comes down to a choice on our hearts of what we're going to do. It's a very simple choice, but it makes profound differences. And so, this morning, the Spirit of the Lord is the Spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, and God wants to search our hearts. If we turn to Matthew chapter 5, I'd like to read there some. I'll just take a minute. This past week, we spent some time at my mom and dad's place. Some of you know my dad, some of you don't. My dad has Parkinson's. He's about 64 or 5. He can hardly walk anymore. He can hardly eat anymore. And sometimes our medical system would say there's really no reason to go on. And our medical system would have an answer for that type of thing. And they actually recommend things that we don't recommend as Christians, but there's a lot of this stuff going on these days. But my dad has a purpose. He's a child of God. He can't do hardly anything anymore. I was there for Thanksgiving. He was sitting in his wheelchair there. I get him up in the morning. You know, we help him out, get started for the day. He needs everything done for him. Absolutely everything. And he sits in that chair, and he gets up to the table. He gets what we give him. We ask him, but basically what we bring is what he gets. He can't help himself anymore. And we ask him. We try to make life as pleasant as it can be. But that man, his days are getting closer to being numbered than they were 20 years ago. And as I went there and spent a few days and observed, I did different things. We spent time together, me and my brothers. We did different things, and I had to think, you know, I'm sure Dad would love to be along. You know, we go do different things. We spent time together. My one brother is tearing a house apart. He got an old house. He's fixing it up for his family, tearing that thing apart. My dad used to love doing stuff like that. We bring him along. When we went to look at it, we brought him along and we sat him in an easy chair. And there he sits. And that's all he can do. If we take him, there he goes. If we don't, there he stays. He's missing out on a lot of what life's all about. And largely so, his days, a lot of his days are past. He can't do a whole lot anymore. He still has most of his mental ability. He's losing some of that too. And you know, there's going to come a day, perhaps, where he won't be able to make those choices anymore, and he might still be living. Choices, what I'm talking about, is getting born again. Setting relationships right before it's too late. If you know you've done something or your things are not right at home, there is time today to deal with that issue. But you know, my daddy sits there, and lots of his life is basically the flower of it is past. And he'll be around a little while yet, but he's slipping all the time. Every time we go, it's just a little worse. There's no pain with this. There's no hurt with Parkinson's. Praise the Lord for that. But the part that I believe is the hardest, I've talked with him some, is the fact is he can do nothing about it. He can do nothing as far as getting up and going. He doesn't receive unless someone gives it to him because he can't help himself anymore. Those days are past. And what my heart was, and as I looked at that, I came home again. And I had to think, what am I doing with my time? What am I doing with the days that I have? The relationships that I have? And are things in such a place that if my time just quit, I'd be ready to go? Not everybody has the opportunity that my dad has to sit there and think about life until the Lord takes it. And I don't know what all my dad thinks about sometimes. Sometimes it's hard for him to get his words out. Sometimes his words don't make sense. And so, you know, that's where he's at. I don't know how long that's going to go. But as I thought about that and just different of these things the Lord's been working in my heart, it just again came to my heart, God, is your fire burning within my heart? Or is the fire going out? Where am I at with you this morning, God? Speak to me, Lord. I don't want it to be too late. So today, as we look at Matthew 5, verse 13, I want to read here. And just pondering on the fact that each of us is here for a reason. Our time is in front of us yet, as we heard about time this morning. Matthew 5, 13 says, "Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? Is it thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out, and to be trodden under foot of men? Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but they put it on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." You see, I got this stand here, and I try to get it high enough so everybody can see. I want this light to shine, you know? If we'd shut all the lights off and pull all the blinds and it was pitch dark in here, this light would be light enough for the person in the back corner to be able to walk up here. Just a little bit of light can go a long ways. And you know, in our daily situations, we might feel like we're such a failure. I don't know how many of you have, I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands, but how many of you have felt like that already? I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands because I think every single one may go up, and I won't ask you when's the last time you felt that way. Was it your own doing that caused it? Or was it the fact that someone came and helped you to see that you made them feel that way, and all of a sudden you realize that you did something that maybe offended a brother or brought him to a place of discouragement, and you need to make that thing right. Maybe it's not that way. Maybe this is the condition that your light's burning and men are coming to you and thanking you for what you said, blessing you for what you did for them that day. I won't ask you when the last time that was, but praise the Lord if it's a regular ongoing experience. But our lives have the power to do one or the other. And we can have an enlightening effect in people's lives, or we can just be a cloud. And I had to think this morning, you know, God is light, God is love. Light and love seem to go together. Why is that? I think it's because God is light and God is love. And if we allow Him to light our fire and to be that which is burning within our hearts, have a spiritual born-again conversion experience, our light can shine in such a way that other men may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. I had a phone call yesterday. I was in the shop, and sometimes you don't know what to think, but it gives you a huge burden when you get off the phone to keep keeping on. I had one customer call me, and he said he was just at the local diner, and I won't use names, but when a man goes to a diner, what do they usually do? Talk. And a lot of times a place like Trail Tire might come up. And you know what, it's kind of interesting if people can tell you what they were talking about, and it kind of warms your heart that it was good, you know. That's a blessing. And that was the case on this phone call. And in fact, when they left this diner, the fellow said, hey, you know, he was going to a different place to get tires. He said, why don't you go over to Trail Tire? Last time I went to that other place, they lied to me at the counter, and I won't go there again. That fellow said, you know what, last time I went there, they did to me too. Maybe I'll go that place and try it out. Well, I don't need to explain to you the volumes of things that were going through my mind about honesty and integrity and all of that at the counter working with people, do you understand the lesson that my mind was just pondering on? This fellow is going to come to me, and the test of integrity and honesty is going to be on me the whole time he's in there. Why is that? Because at the diner, that's what they were talking about. And I hung up the phone. I said, okay, Lord, thank you. I needed that this morning. I'm going to walk like that. But brothers and sisters, it's an ongoing present experience day to day. People are watching who we are, how we respond, what we say, what we don't say, and our actions, our attitudes. And in a place like what I'm doing this time of year, it's by the minute that this happens. And there's a row of people at the counter and the phone rings again. Praise the Lord. Yeah. And then it rings again. You got two of them. And three people at the counter waiting on you. Praise the Lord. You know. And it rings again. You got four lines on hold and there's customers at the counter. Praise the Lord. And then I hit the button and ask for help, you know. And guys come in out of the shop. That's what I like, to have some help at a time like that. But brothers and sisters, where does our help come from? It comes from working together. But what we really need is help from above. That the things that we say, the places that we go, the places that we encourage people to go, or the people that we talk to, get a taste and light and see that the Lord is good. Would to God it can be that way. And if nothing else this morning, this message is for me. Because I need that. Except God's fire is burning in my heart, that day might be a waste of redemptive time. Spiritually speaking. Yeah, maybe my wallet gets full. But is that all we're living for? Just want to ask you to open your heart. The Lord's trying to open my heart, trying to speak to my heart. Dirk, what are you here for? How is it going? What's getting done? And just ponder on things like that. It's actually a good thing to just stop and allow God to do inventory. Here in Matthew, it speaks about that ye are the salt of the earth. Salt that has been wet and has been used is better roadkill than it is to hold on to for the next use. It loses its potency. It's been used. And you go on here in verse 14, it says, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. You know, men don't light a candle and then just... My wife, okay, she loves scented candles. If it was me, it probably wouldn't be the same at our house, but my wife has one of these things in every room. She loves scented candles. And every cleaning day, I walk in the door and I go past each room and I know what flavor is burning in every room. And sometimes I'll go around and cap these things, you know. And when we want to go away, I say, honey, did you put the candles out? Because I don't really like these things burning when nobody's home, you know. Just kind of have thoughts about things like that, you know. And so, well, usually they are, but anyway, these candles, this one here, by the way, not only gives off light, but it's scented. And I had to think, you know, our lives are a lot like that. Brother John, when he walks in, his light shines. But you can tell when John walks in the room, partially by his character, and his smile. I told John he's got a perpetual smile. That's one thing I appreciate about John. When I worked for John, it was a blessing. In the mornings, he'd have a chipper smile on his face, and by and large, that's how I know John. I won't ask him if all the time it's like that. I just know that I see John that way so often. Praise the Lord. I want to ask you this morning, what's going on in your heart as I think about these things? What does your candle smell like? How many people even want to be in the room when your candle gets burning throughout the day? Or is it a blessed experience? You know, does it give off light and love and fragrance? How is it? The Spirit of God, the fire of God, it searches the inward parts of our conscience. And when men light a candle, they have no intention of lighting a candle to just drop a bushel over it right away. The point is they want that thing to give off light. That's the whole point, by the way, that God saved our souls. It's not just for an insurance plan, but it's to give assurance to all people around. You don't need insurance if you have assurance. Fellows that live by insurance can't insure themselves heavy enough with more insurance. If you have assurance, even if you don't have insurance, you have assurance at the end of the day. Praise the Lord. I sat down with my agent the other day. We have insurance at the shop there. And I had to think about that fella. I would not want his job. I like sitting on the other side of the counter talking about my assurance. But he sells insurance. What are we offering to people? Are you assured heavy enough that when the cost gets so high, you're covered? Or do you have enough to even handle the littlest thing? Better raise your assurance policy. It needs to cost you more. It's not covering you heavy enough. I recommend a bigger umbrella. Do you follow what I'm saying? The terminology? You might have a $1 million occurrence with a $2 million aggregate umbrella over the year. Well, I tell you what, brothers, we need more than that umbrella in our assurance plan. We need total coverage for everything. And we have that kind of policy available that has no limit on funds. And can do all things for all men, all the time. He's never closed. He doesn't run out. He understands. He won't put you on hold. He's not on vacation this week. 24/7, 365. Full coverage. 100% assurance in all cases and all situations. Praise the Lord. I'd much rather be offering that kind of plan. And it says here, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your God is in heaven. And what does that mean to you and me? These are just things I've been thinking about this week. We need things like this to stir us up, brothers. If you turn to Acts chapter 13. Would to God this could happen in Trail. Acts 13:44. It'd be really nice if we had a lot of natural gas pipe up to the top of this building and we lit a fire up there that you could see all the way to Tuscarora's County. Let's put a 2-inch line up there and let her blow. You know what I'm saying? That's what a steeple's for, is to get our fire higher. Anyways, if we go to Acts 13:44, it says, "And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God." Praise the Lord. That's a big statement. What happened in the next verse? "But when the Jews saw the multitude, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, 'It was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth.' And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region." We turn to Acts chapter 2. And you go to verse 41, Acts 2:41. It says, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day were added unto them 3,000 souls or so." And it goes on there in verse 47, "Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." I have a question for us this morning. Is this happening here amongst us? That the people such as would be saved, such as people's names are in the book of life and are supposed to be written there, are they being saved this morning here amongst us? Can that be spoken for us here? And thinking about that, it comes down to each one of us that's sitting here. How are we living our lives week to week, day to day? Are we living in such a way that the people that should be saved, who should be written in Book of Life in heaven, would be saved? And that comes down to each one of us, men and women, younger and older. These people's lives had salt to them. It was like a scented candle. That's the way their fires were burning. Let's turn to Acts 11, verse 26. This verse has caused me to think time and time again. I've parked on this verse and thought about it. Acts 11, verse 26, it says, "And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch, and it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch." I'd like to just park there for a few minutes and think about it. How is it in Trail? How is it in Millersburg? We go to day to day, we do our business. We talk with people. People can tell what we're living for. And they hear that as they come in our doors. They hear that as we relate to them. They see that by maybe how we drive, what kind of vehicles we have, what kind of house does he have, how does he treat people, how does he treat his children, how does he treat his wife. how does he help that brother that everybody in town knows had a problem last week? Maybe something happened and they see the church reaching out to him, or they see a lack of it, or they hear people talking about another person in church. I've often said, you know, at the table, there can be many people on the menu. Maybe some of them, what about the ministry? How do we feel about the ministry, you know? How do we feel about the last brother's meeting? How do we care about that one brother who said something or didn't do something to us last week, or that sister? So these people, they went shopping just like all the people did in Antioch. They did business. But all over town, apparently, there was people that talked about who? Who did they talk about? Anybody know? About who? Jesus. Brother Reuben says he thinks they were talking about Jesus. Well, it says there that the people were first called Christians at Antioch. Do you know what that tells me? Those people, where they spent their money, how they spent their money, what they talked about, the places they went, places they didn't go, everywhere they were, there was such a fragrance, there was such a clarity about these people that they were all after one thing, and it was Jesus. It was notable. In fact, might as well call them a Christian. That's all they talk about. That's what they bring up. That's why they do what they do. Apparently, they're a Christian. I asked them the other day. That's why that thing is on their head. That's why they did that for that person over across the road. Because of Jesus. These people, they got to be Christians. Amen. What is the smell or the fragrance in our community as we operate from day to day? That's what this tells me. Who am I walking like? Who do I adore and appreciate? What means the most to me at the end of the day? God help us, brothers. Let's get serious about this. All over the community, that people could call us Christians. And we'd be known for such things. Anyway, these brothers, Barnabas and Saul, in another place, it says they turned the city upside down. They accused them of doing that. But there's some big statements made. It does us well to just look at some of these things and think about them. What kind of caliber does that take? What kind of fragrance does that take? I mean, I've always known Yankee candles to be pretty good candles. Maybe you don't know what I'm talking about. Maybe the name's different in your mind when you want to get a good candle. But if you get about five of those going in the house, you can smell on one end or the other. It fills the whole house with the thing. And either you get some good ones or you get some that you won't buy again. Well, I like lilac candles, you know. I kind of like that smell. And my thought this morning is, do people like the smell that our lives are giving off? Would they want to go back there again and get more? You know, with these candles. I want one at my house. You know, I think they read this. I think that's where they get it from, you know. And then they go home and they start doing the same thing because they saw it working. They want it too. I mean, this thing turned the whole place upside down. You can do it in Holmes County too. It's turning some things upside down, praise the Lord. We want to see it keep being that way. So we need a light fire. We need to encourage that amongst us, that we don't get lukewarm and accept way lower and less than the best. The opportunity is there, brothers. We need to rise up in the morning, or we need to stay up late and keep that fire burning. Even when it is busy, even when we got a lot going, don't let that bushel come down over that fire. But keep the fire burning. And that's for me, brothers, as much as anyone this morning. We want to be among those kind of people that they call Christians. Well, I could go on, but I think I'm going to just close there. The bottom line is, brothers, don't let the fire go out. If you feel that thing waning, don't let it go too long. It's so much harder to get it started again. Just keep it burning. Let it burn. Keep it alive. Put more fuel on. Make that it's for real, that it comes right out of its box, burning hot, so that the smell of it can bless everyone. That's my prayer this morning. So may God help us. Let's, if we could, let's sing number 392 together. That song is on my heart this morning. Number 392. And if the Lord is searching your heart, let Him do that. Just let Him get in there and have your whole heart. Number 392. Ye are the light of the world, driving the darkness away, shedding your beams on the lost, changing their night into day. Then let your light ever shine, showing the right way to go. Gladly the lost ones will see God's boundless love they will know. Ye are the light of the world, causing the clouds to depart, throwing the sunshine of peace down on the poor burdened heart. Then let your light ever shine. Loved ones are panting for rest. Sunshine their souls will receive, lifting them up to the blessed. Ye are the light of the world. Through you the true light must shine, calling the lost sons of man home to the Father divine. Then let your light ever shine, hallow the name that is love. You will each shine as a star, fixed in the orbit of